Welcome back to the Montana Minute Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Reamer. Our topic today is about grandparents and grandchildren. In Montana, a growing number of children are being raised by their grandparents. This situation can be viewed as a real opportunity. Grandparents are often the source of immense wisdom, resilience, and experience. However, stepping into the role of a parent as an older adult comes with some real challenges. For as anyone who has raised children knows, it's not easy. It's physical, it takes up a lot of time, energy, and resources, and sometimes when children are suffering from trauma or mental health issues, it can take a lot of patience. My guest and I would really like to focus this episode on thinking about these and other challenges and coming up with ways to help older adults raising grandchildren. But also doing that by tapping into the traits of grandparents, such as wisdom, resiliency, and experience, that can make this situation such an opportunity. With that, I'd like to introduce Keith Anderson, professor at the University of Montana in the School of Social Work. While I was in that program, Keith was one of my professors, so I can tell you from experience that he really knows his stuff. I'll let him finish introducing himself so that we can jump into our conversation.
So I'm an associate professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Montana, and my scholarship focuses on gerontology and specifically more on caregiving. So professional caregivers, so something like a nursing assistant, that group of people, or family caregiving, so spouses taking care of each other or adult children taking care of older adults. And then in this situation today, we'll be talking about grandparents, which can be older adults, taking care of their grandchildren and filling that role.
I think, you know, one thing that led us to wanting to investigate this has been a sharp kind of increase in that situation in Montana and the number of grandparents who are raising their grandkids. Do you have any idea what's kind of led to that? Or
yeah, you know, and I thought maybe we could just put a few stats out there so people can see.
Yeah, I think those are helpful.
The magnitude of the issue. Generations United is an organization that is one of the leaders in terms of, I guess, gathering statistics and facts about these intergenerational exchanges, and also providing support and information to people. So there's an estimated 7.8 million children who live in households headed by grandparents or other relatives. 2.7 million children, which is about 4% of all U.S. children, are being raised by grand families or kinship care situations. So, and they also say this, these are the official statistics, but they said for every one child that is in foster care being raised by relatives, there's another 20 or 25 children who are being raised either part-time or full-time by their grandparents or other relatives. So we have this official statistic, but we also know that there's a, I don't know, maybe you could say shadow population of grandparents who are playing large roles in their grandchildren's lives.
That's pretty significant. We've got a lot of people who are stepping into this role kind of maybe not out of sync, you know, kind of not really in the order that they would have imagined. They've already raised kids.
Right. And there's been growth, you know, since 2009, estimates are 6 to 7% increase in grandparents raising grandchildren. So, and I think it's also getting a lot of press these days as grandparents are being thrust into that role. And you had asked, what were some of the driving forces behind this uptick in grandparents raising grandchildren? And there are a couple factors. Probably most notably is substance misuse, and in particular the opioid crisis, where you have parents who are unable or unavailable to take care of their children because of they're struggling with addictions, or they're involved in the criminal justice system, or incarcerated in a lot of cases. And then the children end up in foster care, and grandparents are one of the primary groups of people who step forward and who are capable and willing to assume that role with the children. So they're an important group. Other factors, you know, I think there's a higher rates of multi-generational households, primarily driven by recent immigrant populations, where that's culturally that's a more common phenomenon to have grandparents, parents, and children all living in the same household. And then another factor, I think, probably increased births by single women, and in some cases, they'll rely upon the grandparents also to live with them and support them in that way.
Sure. So is this, in Montana, a factor? Are these factors contributing to an uptick in our state?
Yeah, in Montana, there's an estimated 7.2% of children under 18 live in households with their grandparents and other relatives. Mm. So that's higher than other states. I think one of the factors that drives that higher rate in Montana is the fact that we have a large Native American population. And almost a third of the grandparents who are raising grandchildren in the state of Montana are American Indian or Alaskan Native families. And I think also we have to be aware that some of the driving forces that are responsible for the increased numbers of grandparents raising grandchildren in the general population may be a bit different in the American Indian and Alaskan Native population, where culturally it's more common for multi-generations to play an active role in raising children in those communities. So we have to be aware of that as well.
Sure. Yeah, this, I don't want to frame this necessarily as a problem. You know, sometimes the factors that lead to these situations are problematic, but not always. I think this can be a good thing as well as something that is born out of necessity.
Yeah.
The grandparents needing to step into that role. So what is it like for grandparents? I think I'd want to shift into that conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, what's that change like for grandparents who are shifting from being a grandparent to kind of being a parent?
You know, there's a couple words that they use when they talk about grandparents stepping into that role to raise the grandchildren. And the first word is anachronistic. So it's something for a lot of grandparents that happens out of sequence with traditional roles in some cultures, traditional roles throughout the life course. So for a lot of grandparents, it's not uncommon to say, I never imagined myself raising children at this age. I thought I'd already done that.
Yeah.
So it's a little out of order for a lot of grandparents. Another word that you often hear used is ambivalent. So there's mixed feelings and mixed experiences for these grandparents. On one hand, they feel responsible for these children and they feel like they're best equipped to help raise these kids. And there's a sense of filial piety, which refers to your feelings of responsibility to others, in particular to family. So they have that sense of, this is my own family, this is my blood, I'm going to step into this role and I'm going to do a good job. And then on the other side, you have feelings of, I'm not ready for this, this is incredibly stressful, I'm not prepared for this, I don't understand this generation of children. As for many grandparents, I think the grandparenting role traditionally is, I'll engage with the grandchildren when I want to and for enjoyable times, you know, holidays and things of that nature, maybe watch them after school. It's a very enjoyable and fulfilling role. When you shift into having more responsibility and taking on those parenting roles as a grandparent, I think things can really change. So now you're responsible for the day-to-day maintenance, if you will, of these children and taking care of their well-being, as well as discipline. And that can be a real challenge.
Certainly, you have to start taking the difficult tasks with the positive ones that you're used to as a grandparent.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I think a lot of us hear grandparents say, gosh, this is the, when they're just doing the grandparenting role, this is just so much, it's so enjoyable to be a grandparent. But when you shift over to adding the parenting into the grandparenting, it's a lot more work. And I think when we look at what grandparents go through when they're raising grandchildren, we can look at the different sort of domains of life. So, you know, if we just talk about physical well-being, 40% of the grandparents raising grandchildren are age 60 and older. So, you know, these are older adults. And with age can come disability, chronic conditions, things of that nature that can limit your energy and your physical ability to actually fully engage in a parenting role in raising a kid. Recent study estimated disability rates of at approximately 25% for grandparents raising grandchildren. And this can be really problematic, especially for younger children, where parenting can be quite physical, picking kids up, carrying them around and bathing them and things of that nature. And if you have limited functional ability, this can be really problematic and take a toll on people.
Yeah, that's driving, on top of driving them to school, going places, going shopping, getting, you know, more stuff for them. And
yeah,
I mean, it all adds up, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's an active role. And for some of these older adults, it can really challenge them physically and really drain their energy.
I'm really glad you mentioned also that some cultures are more used to having an active grandparent role. And so for them, maybe it's not so much so complicated or much more difficult for them to step into a little bit even more active role. Mm-hmm. For cultures that, you know, the grandparents usually one kind of step removed, that's kind of what we've been talking about and it being added toll or added activity. So, you know, I'm wondering how those people might be supported, especially, you know, if you're somebody listening to this and you're thinking, I'm going to go work with this family and the child's been removed from the home and they're living with the grandparent and they're just, you know, they'd never cared for this child before.
Yeah.
How can you support those folks and what can like a person do to help the situation?
Sure. Yeah. I think, you know, if we kind of circle back to the toll that it can take on folks, in addition to the physical stressors, the emotional stressors for grandparents raising grandchildren can really take a toll on them again. And typical things of frustration, anxiety, worry, all of these things are associated with parenting in general. But I think they're magnified with the grandparents who, again, are not necessarily prepared for this role. A lot of older grandparents experience mental health problems such as depression or anxiety. Or if they have underlying depression or anxiety, it's exacerbated by assuming this new role as a parent. And then we also have to realize that for a lot of these kids, particularly kids who enter into foster care, they've experienced trauma themselves. There was an estimate that 72% of grandchildren being raised by grandparents have experienced at least one type of trauma exposure. And we know that when children are exposed to trauma, it can manifest itself in behavioral problems. So, you know, these grandparents, in some cases, not all cases, but in some cases, are raising children that have special needs and need special attention and special approaches. So, again, another stressor that these grandparents may not be fully equipped for. And then I think we also have to look at a third domain of these grandparents stepping in, and that's the financial domain, which is a stressor for all of us across our life course. But for older adults, you know, who may be living on a fixed income or don't have that ability to go out and increase their income to care for these kids, it's a problem. And poverty levels are typically higher for grandparents raising grandchildren. Overall, I think the estimates are about 20% of grandparents raising grandchildren live below the poverty line. And then when you talk about grandparents of color, they're about 80% more likely to live in poverty than grandparents who are white. And then, you know, adding to all that complexity is the fact that over 50% of grandparents raising grandchildren are still in the workforce. So you can imagine assuming a role of caring for a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, you're working full time. Someone's going to have to take care of those children during the day while you're working, or you're going to have to curtail your hours, which is another financial hit. So you have the physical stressors, you have the emotional stressors, and then you have these financial stressors. So it's a challenge. And you know, like you said, anyone who works with this group of people, they need to understand that this is not a typical parenting situation. There's stressors that the grandparents are undergoing, stressors that the children are undergoing. In some situations, you actually have the parents who are still involved to some degree with the children.
I imagine that can change the relationship between the grandparent and their child, the parent of the grandchild they're now raising.
Definitely. And with that comes issues of control and authority and who's the parent in this situation. So it can really cause a lot of tension and stress in the family system. So that's another factor to consider. It's especially difficult, too, for grandparents who don't have legal custody of the grandchildren. So then you have legal issues as well of who actually is the authority here. And it can get pretty complicated, as you can imagine.
Absolutely. And with all these stressors, I'm sure there also comes strengths in this. You know, I think the idea is to keep the child in the family where they have some familiarity with the people who will be raising them. So in that sense, it's a good thing that children are going into the care of grandparents. So what are the strengths of people who have probably, you know, spent decades raising kids of their own and have some experience? What kind of strengths can people help in that, their families, play off of?
True. I think they can really tap into the resilience of these grandparents. Like you said, they've already raised a family of their own, so it's hard to find a more experienced caregiver than these folks. They are family members as well, which is really important. Family preservation is central. I know the pendulum swings back and forth in child welfare, but family preservation is central in our child welfare systems. I know in Native American communities, family preservation is incredibly important and is central to Indian Child Welfare Act, ICWA, and some other efforts to try to preserve culture and preserve these families. So it's really important. And grandparents play an incredibly important role in that. In terms of working with folks and how to help people in these situations, there are formal support programs that exist, particularly for grandparents who are foster parents. You know, so any of the foster care programs that are available to any adult who is a foster parent is open to these grandparents. So there's support programs, things like TANF and CHIP, child health insurance programs, are available. There's support programs in communities. So these grandparents may be able to look at area agencies on aging, which may have support programs, education programs for these grandparents. And then there's also some innovative interventions that have been developed. Some of them they call them kinship navigator programs, which provide grandparents with a single entry point into caring for kids. So it connects them with housing, health services, financial services, legal services, this whole spectrum of services that these older adults all of a sudden need to know about.
And I'm sure that's one of the key things to helping them out is getting them that information.
Yeah.
You know, what reason would they have for looking these things up beforehand?
Exactly. Yeah. And things like fragmentation in social services can be one of the most frustrating problems that any person finds when they interact with social service programs. So you can imagine an older adult realizing they need to go to 5 different offices to qualify for XYZ programs. So I think we found that some of these programs where they offer a central entry point navigation, which essentially is support to help that person navigate these complex systems, is critical. Another program that they've found has been beneficial is called Kids Matter, which is this multimodal approach that includes counseling for both the grandparents and the grandchildren. So remember, these children a lot of them have been through trauma. You could probably even categorize the fact that they're now being cared for by their grandparents as a potentially traumatic situation. Change can be traumatic for children, and instability can be traumatic for children. So counseling both the grandparents and the grandchildren, and again, also these wraparound services that provide legal services, hook them up with community resources, maybe some coaching. We also have to think as well, you know, there's generation gaps between parents and their children. When you skip a generation, and oftentimes they'll call these skip generation families, where that one generation is no longer there, you'll have grandparents raising grandchildren, but there'll be a 25-year gap. So things like technology is super challenging for a lot of grandparents to connect with their grandchildren. Even something as simple as a cell phone, where that may be just foreign technology, or things like assisting children with their homework when the homework is on a computer or something like that. Yeah. So there are programs out there, I think, that help to bridge that generation gap, but that's another issue, that technological gap that exists, that I think if you're working with an older adult who's raising a grandchild, you need to be aware of that. And cultural changes. There's been cultural changes in the way kids communicate with each other and how we monitor them for safety and things like that, that an older adult may not even think about. If they notice that their child's on the computer, that's a good thing. They must be learning something, when in reality, they could be exposed to some pretty bad characters out there.
I know I'm not too far removed from the current generation in high school, but I often have things fly straight over my head. So I couldn't imagine somebody who's a couple generations above myself.
Sure, I mean,
dealing with that.
Yeah, the language has changed.
In
communicating with my nieces and nephews, I'm no longer tuned in. The language I use is like old English compared to what they're using.
Another language.
Yeah, acronyms that I don't understand and emojis and whatever else. So
exactly.
It's really pretty foreign.
Yeah, so I'm hearing from you that it's important to provide some of this emotional support, helping the grandparents kind of work through their own concerns or worries, and then also the technical support of connecting to resources or financial assistance. That kind of thing as well. It's a multi-pronged way that people can help.
Yeah, and all of those are necessary for whatever programs you're running, or if you're just an individual helping people, you really need to check off all those boxes, because for a grandparent to be successful in raising grandchildren, those are issues that are just very common and need to be addressed. Things you'd overlook, the legal assistance in particular, is really critical, especially with these complicated family situations of people being incarcerated, coming out of incarceration, that type of thing. Capacity, people with addictions problems, it can get really complicated.
Okay, so what else, Keith, do you think we've missed? Like, what else should people know who are beginning to work with a family where a grandparents raising their grandchildren?
Yeah, you know, I think probably, and usually this is the first step in the helping process, is to listen and not to assume that every grandparent raising a grandchild fits into some model, because I don't think that's the case. There's a heterogeneity in terms of how these grandparents came into this role, what their experiences were as parents themselves, what their expectations and capabilities are as grandparents raising grandchildren, what the resources are in the community. Of course, being aware of culture is incredibly important, particularly knowing that grandparents raising grandchildren is a more common phenomenon among persons of color and populations of color. So those are the things to really be tuned into. So if you want to help, you know, the first step is to listen and determine needs based upon what that family is currently going through, really looking at a family-centered care model rather than coming in with your preconceived notion of what's going to work for this family.
I was thinking that as well. You know, you need to kind of investigate what your preconceived notions are.
Yeah, and you have to be really cognizant of that and recognize your limitations, your biases, whatever they may be. And then, you know, to rely on those people, many of these people can help themselves. They just need support. They need information. They need education. They need doors opened for them to walk through. Grandparents and older adults tend to be very resilient people. They didn't get to this stage in life if they weren't. So I think those are the things to really be aware of. Be aware of what's available in your community. If it's not available, take efforts to create something, whether it's a support group of grandparents that get together every Tuesday night over coffee or something like that, or if it's respite care for the grandparent who's just needs an afternoon off. What programs are available that could provide childcare so this grandparent could just take some time off or take care of their own needs or desires? So I think that's central. Yeah, I think it's just one of those things. Parenting is tough. So, you know, being a parent for a grandchild is just, I think it's amplified in a lot of ways and unanticipated and unexpected. And like I said before, that phrase, I just did not expect myself to be doing this at my age or at this stage in my life. So, and then, you know, like we said too, with the cultural awareness is really critical when working with these families. Grandparents, I know my grandparents played a major role in my life, and probably they're part of the reason why I became a gerontologist is because of my respect for my grandparents and my interest in their lives and who they are. So I think for most of us who have gotten to know our grandparents, it's a real honor.
I think what I'm expecting now is a whole generation of gerontologists.
Yeah.
You know, with this uptick in grandparents raising their grandchildren, people who have gotten so much more respected.
Yeah. I think there's a big demand in the workforce for older people or for professionals who want to work with older adults. This intergenerational phenomenon of grandparents raising grandchildren really calls for well-rounded professionals who know both, you know, who know human development across the lifespan.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it takes. It takes talented people or talented collaborations of a gerontologist and a child welfare specialist working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big bridge to cross, but
it's a lot to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So what are the resources? I know you've brought a few, and
maybe
there's a few you should mention. We can put the links in
the
description of the episode.
Yeah, I mentioned Generations United as a really good resource. So you could go online, and I think it's just generationsunited.org. And then they put out a report each year titled State of Grand Families. And they just put out a 2017 report with some really good statistics in there. Also talking a little bit about, or quite a bit about, trauma-informed care. And like I had mentioned before, a lot of these children have experienced trauma. And a trauma-informed care approach is probably one of the better ways of looking at this phenomenon and in helping families.
That's great. Yeah. As I imagine, many grandparents wonder why the child's acting out so much, and to really understand, I think many caretakers, many parents, not just grandparents, have that question.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know why my child is acting out, and the trauma informed approach really gives some answers for that with children who have been exposed to trauma.
Yeah, I agree. And also teaching some of these grandparents new parenting techniques that have emerged over the past 20, 30 years of, hey, this is what's really effective now. Research shows that approach that you may have taken in 1975 is not as effective as what we know now. So that's helpful. Like we said before, to frame this as a phenomenon, not necessarily a problem, we often equate demographic trends as problems, and we do that a lot with older adults. You know, they refer to the baby boomers growing older as the silver tsunami, and as most of us know, tsunamis are pretty destructive forces.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah. So I don't think of it as that. I think of it as an opportunity. So, you know, I don't want to downplay the stressors of grandparents raising grandchildren, but there's also opportunities to really support these folks and realize that they are a resource and help them. And I think we need to develop more programs and be more proactive. So
I think that's a great positive note to end it on. So thanks again for sitting down with
Sure.
me and sharing your expertise and your knowledge, and for all the work you do also outside with older adults and the research and all of that as well. So thanks again, Keith.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Keith had some great wisdom on this topic, and I want to say thanks again for taking the time to sit down with me. Keith is a good friend and mentor, so I really enjoyed the opportunity to sit down and catch up. As mentioned in our conversation, there are a lot of resources for this episode, so be sure to visit the description to find the links to those. Also, visit the Center for Children, Families, and Workforce Development podcast website for even more resources, trainings, and podcast episodes at www.health.umt.edu/CCFWD. And that's it for today. I hope you found this episode helpful. I certainly learned a thing or two, and I think I'm going to go give my grandparents a call right now. I've been your host, Zach Reamer, and I'll see you next time on the Montana Minute. Take care.